Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Sometimes we see things we didn't want to see, you know, right? Like that New York Post picture of the wiener man, Carlos Danger. All right, well, you're not in danger unless you're out on the roads tonight because they are wet. So give yourself some extra time. In the meantime, thank you for listening. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, I am Christopher Hart. We got Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight.
And as a tribute to the late Mr. Fuji, as he says, bonsai.
Bonsai. That's right. Mr. Fuji passed away on
Rest in peace.
Today. That's right. And Gene Wilder passed away today or yesterday, too, of complications from Alzheimer's disease.
And they're close to each other in age, too.
Yeah, in their 80s. Both of them up in their 80s. Live long and prosperous lives. We hope each and every one of you do that as well. In the meantime, we're here until 7 o'clock, and you can be a part of the show, too. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255. Going to have Abe Katzman join us here shortly, live from Jerusalem. And a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have a couple of local contestants here, candidates for those committee women offices. And boy, are they ever, golly, those are very, let's just put it this way, very competitive. All right, so tomorrow, early voting's over. Tomorrow is primary day. Do please get out and exercise your right to vote. Some of these are closed primaries. Others are more broad, countywide, district-wide, that sort of thing. We'll be choosing our senatorial candidates, Democrat and Republican. And we'll be choosing a number of congressional candidates, as well as some local offices like the Seminole County Clerk of Courts. Go Grant Malloy. Please choose Grant Malloy. You will not be sorry. I guarantee you that. And these committee women and committee men positions and school board. Abby Sanchez looks good in Seminole County. And, you know, you got a lot of great choices out there. Make sure you make them, though. They aren't worth a hoot if you don't get out and vote. All right, so tomorrow is primary day. 10 weeks from tomorrow is the official election day, November the 8th. But about 4 weeks from tomorrow, early voting will begin in some states. The Dakotas and Minnesota kick things off here in just a little over 4 weeks. And then gradually other states with early voting will come on board as well until you get to a state like Florida, where our early voting is about 2 weeks out from the actual election day. Once again, please do take advantage of your right to vote. And if you're not registered for this primary, make darn sure you get registered for the general election. And no, it ain't over yet. There are some poll numbers out over the weekend that show a significant tightening in this race. As a matter of fact, an Emerson poll came out that shows this race pretty much dead even in Ohio. Well, actually, in Ohio, it is literally dead even, 43 all. Pennsylvania, it's 46-43 Clinton. Michigan, 45-40 Clinton. And we had a poll out of North Carolina. We gave the results from last night that shows Hillary Clinton only maintaining a one-point lead in North Carolina. No, this thing ain't over. I mean, if you listen to some of the liberal talking heads in the media that pass themselves off as journalists and commentators, you can be a commentator, you know, and have a bias. Just let us know. Don't try to hide it. But they're out there. Oh, this is over. It's all done, and this and that, the other thing. And of course, anything Donald Trump does, it's a horrendous crime. Well. It ain't over till it's over, all right? And there's a good ways to go here. Donald Trump is going to start barraging ads. He's done a $10 million ad buy, covered over 9 states, so that's a little over $1 million per state. These states are, some of these states are swing states. Others are kind of interesting. He's going to start running ads in Colorado, Ohio, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Florida, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Iowa, and Nevada. And Virginia and Colorado are interesting because Hillary Clinton has pulled her money out of those states because she considers them to be already locked up. And so Donald Trump will have the free run of the airwaves for a while, and either she'll have to put money back into those states or he's going to have free run of the airwaves for a while. And by the way, Wednesday, he is going to be in Arizona to give his speech on immigration. So perhaps we will find some clarity along those lines. He's been pretty consistent and clear throughout. But perhaps for those out there who are still in foggy when it comes to Trump's immigration policy, he can perhaps lift some of that fog on Wednesday. And then Saturday, I believe it is, he's going to be speaking in a black church in Detroit to, of course, a black audience. And that'll, of course, be very interesting to see how he is received there and how his words go over. If you didn't catch the show last night, tomorrow night's show, it'll be put up on the archive. We talked about a number of things on the show. One thing that we didn't get to last night, though, because it kind of broke this morning, and that is the Huma Abedin. the Huma Abedin split with Carlos Danger there. Anthony Weiner has been at it again. And New York Post, like I said, ran a photograph. Could have done without that, all right? The descriptive words are enough for me. Some things, you know, you just don't want to have imprinted on your brain, right? Anyway, he's been sexting again. And it turns out the woman he was sexting with is a Trump supporter. Now, I don't know. I don't know that that had anything to do with the story breaking or not. Anyway, it did break, and it's out there. And Huma Abedin, as you might expect, has put her fortune with Hillary Clinton, and splitting now with Anthony Weiner. And you know, yeah, maybe Weiner's got a problem. Doesn't seem to be any question about that. But maybe his problem is Huma Abedin. Did you ever think about that? I mean, I don't want to make excuses for the man, but hey, when you're married to a woman who has devoted her life to another woman, in this case, Hillary Rotten Clinton, maybe you end up with a lot of time on your hands and don't know what to do with it, right? No puns intended there, and nothing going on. I'm just saying that there's two sides to that story, right? Neither one is very, very good, though. But it's like I say, this campaign to me is a joy to watch. I'm loving every minute of it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just absolutely loving every second, every minute of it. And as we talked about on the show last night, history seems to be favoring Donald Trump. It seems to have been happening. And of course, I think it's because he's tuned in. He's dialed in. He's dialed into our concerns. He's dialed into what's happening in the world. He's not trying to hide the reality that is out there. And in Milwaukee a little over a week ago now, about 10 or 11 days ago, he started appealing to the black community in particular. Hispanics as well, but blacks in particular. And, of course, the famous line is, what have you got to lose? But he was also castigated, and if they could have, they would have castrated the man for daring to go around saying stuff like, you're living with rampant poverty, you're living with rampant unemployment, you're living with bad schools, you walk down the street, you get shot. And that one really seemed to bother them, that you walk down the street and you get shot. Lo and behold, what happens Friday? Dwayne Wade's cousin is walking down the street pushing a stroller, and she gets shot. Walking down the street, she gets shot. Trump, pretty much in Trump style, immediately tweets, in essence, I told you so. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to do something about. You see, he's actually showing, in my opinion, more empathy than those who are castrating him for not, you know, saying, expressing sorrow and thoughts and prayers to you and all the, you know, the standard things that we say and we do. But in essence, is that going to solve the problem? And he's saying, look, I will stop this. I will let the police do their job. And more accurately, they will stop it. The problem we have now is that the liberals won't let the police do their job. They're trying now to vilify them just for existing, basically. So anyway, that seems to have today been overshadowed by, well, I'm not going to say it. Let's go to Brad. Brad, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. On the subject you were just talking about, you know, when Trump talked about, you know, you could just get shot walking down the street.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, a few days later, exactly what happened to Dwayne Wade's cousin. But this morning on Morning Joe, which is supposed to be a news show, All they did was gang up on Donald Trump and make fun of him because he didn't show empathy or concern. Let me tell you something. The time for tears is now just private in that family, not at a national level. The time is a call to action. We've had 8 years of thousands and thousands of murders in our inner cities. There is no tears like Mika and Joe. Oh, we want tears. No, the time for tears is over. It's a time for action. The country is fed up with Obama disrespecting men and women who wear the badge. The time is finished for that divisiveness. They're attacking Donald Trump because Trump is exactly right. These murders are this is not acceptable in our society. But the Democrats are attacking law-abiding citizens, they're attacking the NRA, and they're protecting their own constituents in the inner cities. It's like a comedy of you don't know if this is surreal or not, but it sounds surreal what they're doing. And the country, I think, is getting so fed up with it that they're saying enough. This has got to stop.
Yeah, these sanctimonious, self-righteous blowhards that you're talking about are desperately trying to ruin Donald Trump's chances of being president. But they have already, announced this election's over. Hillary Clinton's won this thing. It's only a matter of how big it's going to be. And are the other Republicans going to suffer? They all better run away from Donald Trump because he is such a mean old villain. Look, they're just playing formula politics. They're preaching to the elite that watches that show. How many blacks you think watch The Morning Joke? All right, so Donald Trump is talking to black people. These idiots are talking to other elites like themselves, and they're trying to impress other elites like themselves so that when they go to the cocktail parties and everywhere, everybody wants to touch them and be around them and talk to them and look at them and maybe get a selfie with them or something like that. It's all about their celebrity. It's not about the truth. It's not about representing things in an accurate light. It's all about delivering the scripted storyline. And the sad thing about it for them is it's just so obvious. And, yeah, it's funny because Mika's there. Old Mika Bulshinsky is there to give the appropriate stern looks or sad looks or gleeful looks or whatever the occasion's for. She's there to stare into the camera with that look, you know, and they're there to preach, you know, their form of racism. Because, indeed, yes, the time is to act now. And this is what Donald Trump is saying. He's saying, look, I'll get the job done, okay? Let's take care of business. All right, speaking of taking care of business, we got to take care of a break. When we come back, Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem. Please stick around for that. Welcome back to the American Adversaries Show, folks. Once again, thank you for listening. It is that time of the week, that time of the day, for our man Abe Katzman to join us live from Jerusalem. Abe, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing okay.
Good, good, good. Hey, listen, I saw on the news today that Barbara Streisand says she's going to Australia if Trump wins this election. You ever hear that sort of thing in elections over there?
it's not quite as easy to pick up and go somewhere else. But if that's the case, I may just up my contribution.
That's right. Well, about this campaign, what's your observations just in general where it stands right now?
Look, it's so back and forth and up and down, and I expect it will be all the way through. This is there are no. I've been talking to people here, and everybody wants to know predictions, or they make their own predictions, and I just tell them there are no straight lines here. You just cannot extrapolate from where we are now to where we will be in another two-plus months. There's no way to know. So I really don't know what to expect. I think that both candidates have a pretty good shot. My gut tells me people are actually not going to be able to vote for her, and that I think he's actually going to pull it out. But that's what I say now, right after saying that predictions aren't worth anything here.
Well, it does seem to be like it's going to be one of these seesaw, teeter totter type things, you know, up and down, up and down. But I think, you know, if Trump is he's the one who can gain momentum, I think. I don't think she can get momentum. I think you're right. I think a lot of people are you know, they know exactly where they are with Hillary Clinton. Either they're okay with voting for her or they're not. With Donald Trump, I think there's still some flexibility there. Even after all that's been said about him and everything that he said, I still think that he can get some voters. And if he gets momentum going, it may be hard to stop him.
I think so. I think that her appeal is just so limited, and her, you know, her polls are really just a reflection of people's kind of visceral reaction to him. But it's not a reaction that's been built up over many, many years for most people. They've seen a few things. They've heard some statements. They know that there's this hysteria from most of the mainstream media. And I think that they'll start seeing more of him. They'll see the debate. I really think that if they can see him kind of walking the line between being cartoonish Donald Trump and presidential Donald Trump, if he shows that he's capable of it, I think that a lot of people seeing more and more of him, and especially if he can speak, if he's capable of speaking seriously about issues, I think they'll, when it comes down to it, they'd rather vote for him than, you know, I mean, the thought of listening to her for 4 years.
Hey, there's always the scandals that go on around her, right? I mean, you never know what you're going to get. But how does the press in Israel treat this election? Are they treating this much more fairly than the press over here?
They're interested in it from a couple of different angles. For one thing, every so often they come up with this the story that's out now, I saw a couple of days ago that Steve Bannon, who's from Breitbart, who's now running the campaign,
right,
that his ex-wife had said that he made an anti-Semitic comment once. This is in the midst of some, they've got a big divorce battle or something.
Right.
So she apparently made this, that he once made a comment. And, you know, it's not like Donald Trump did. And first of all, Bannon has hired a hugely disproportionate number of Jews, of Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
He carried my stuff. And he's very hawkish on Israel. The man is not an anti-Semite. Meanwhile, you know, nobody said Donald Trump ever said anything like this, but Hillary Clinton did. There are these stories, and go back a long ways, but if you're going to dredge up something from Steve Bannon's ex-wife
20 years ago,
Trump,
yeah.
I think we can take something that Hillary said and pin it on Hillary. So, you know, there have been a couple of things she said. She told Dick Morris once, who I think was asking for a raise. Dick Morris is Jewish. And she said, that's all you people think about is money.
Right.
And he said, by you people, I assume you mean political strategists.
Right.
And another time she even called somebody an effing Jew bastard. And it was witnessed by several people. So, you know, this, I don't know how they're, you know, and yet this kind of stuff gets traction about this person has an anti-Semitic record, that person has an anti-Semitic record.
Right.
She's still got the Teflon on her here.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks, on this wet Monday afternoon here in Central Florida. I am Christopher Hart. I have Abe Katzman coming to us live tonight from Jerusalem. And Abe, once again, thanks for being with us. We were talking about Steve Bannon, you know, right before the break there. And that, amongst other things, had Hillary Clinton give a speech in Reno last week where she struck this very serious tone and issued warnings about the alt-right and Donald's racism and this sort of thing. And, of course, the alt-right is supposed to be racist, anti-Semitic, you name it, they're it. And has the alt-right gotten much attention in Israel?
Not really. There is a sense here, not so much created by the alt-right, but let's say the comments that Trump made where he, I don't know if he didn't know who David Duke was or he couldn't hear the question, or, you know, there is sort of a sense that he perhaps should have more aggressively disavowed support from white supremacists. Maybe he should have. I don't know. If he didn't, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to vote for him because of that. It doesn't make him a racist. It doesn't make him an anti-Semite. Meanwhile, on the other side, they're flirting with Black Lives Matter. And you're out there shooting police. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know which is that one's any better than the other. So, you know, don't. I'm not sure she's in a position to be throwing stones from her glass house. Come on, do you think that she has any idea what the alt-right really is?
Does anybody?
I don't think that anybody, to begin with, it's an amorphous concept. It's not, you know, she talks about it like she's been watching this grow.
Right.
As somebody, you know, I guarantee you a month ago she had never heard of it.
No. It's part of what I started calling last week. They're playing, the Democrats play what I call formula politics now. I've labeled it formula politics. And the formula is every political issue can be reduced to the conflict between good and evil. And the object is to put yourself on the side of good and your opponent on the side of evil. The problem with Hillary Clinton is she's already on the side of evil, if you will. So they have to go really way out of their way to put Trump on the other side of evil from her. You follow what I'm trying to say? And so they're going to do everything they can to vilify the man right through the end. Whether it'll work or not, I kind of think people are a little on to it.
I think that's right. I think another thing is that from the left, increasingly everything gets looked at through the prism of race, class, and gender.
Right.
It's kind of their trinity.
Yes.
For one thing, Trump is on the wrong side of all three of those. But even things like the alt-right it's believed to be very white, very male. It's not exactly a bastion of feminism and political correctness.
No.
I think it's also the fact that it's, you know, it's kind of underground and out of control. or outside of anybody's control, I should say.
Yeah.
And I don't think they, I think that worries them too, but I don't know, maybe it's just like the, also every year they come up with, you know, whether it's the angry white male or the, I mean, there's some way that they're, that they'll tar half the electorate, by, and claim that anybody who's, you know, in the same boat as they are must be, must be them, must be racist or sexist or bigoted or whatever.
That's you're absolutely right. And I think Trump understands that. That's something that I've always frustrated me about George W. Bush. He didn't seem to understand that when he was getting criticized for left, a lot of that criticism was also aimed at people who support him. And it is a means to alienate these people and make sure that no one listens to you when you're talking about why you vote for somebody, because you have been labeled evil as well. So the formula works beyond the candidate into the constituency, right?
Yeah. Look, in his case, I think his strategy was to try to ignore it and hope that it wouldn't draw too much attention. I think that he miscalculated.
Yeah, you cannot do that with Democrats, because they will see that as a sign of weakness, and they will feel emboldened and empowered to do it even more. That's why Trump is so troubling to them, because he doesn't play that game. He says, "Okay, you want to play that game? I'll play that game too." The foundation. Now, you're a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, but it appears to me that she's got some problems with the foundation, at least if not legally, certainly politically speaking, that this stinks to high heaven, doesn't it?
Well, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, and you don't have to be a lawyer to know that the Clinton Foundation is has done some illegal stuff.
That's a good way to put it.
Unethical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the lawyers, one thing we do is that when we get sworn in, there's all these ethical rules, and there are all these rules about, like, making sure to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. She crossed that line a long, long time ago. But I just think it's astounding that, you know, more and more and more of this stuff comes out, and it just, you know, what's happened to the country where she doesn't get, you know, there's no prosecution. Not only is there no prosecution, there are, you know, the wagons are circled around her by, you know, by, I mean, I guess that's always something the left did, but it's almost like it would be offensive to call for her to actually be prosecuted for any of this stuff now. And she's up to her ears in it. I mean, it's the graft. It's the national secrets. It's probably getting certain agents killed. I just saw, by the way, that Iran arrested another nuclear scientist, and I just wonder if it's like the last one who they executed, whose name appeared in some of Hillary's emails, non-secured emails.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could very well be. We'll have to keep our eye on that. And I would assume that Israel and probably other allies of the United States are concerned that some of their state secrets might have been compromised because of her carelessness.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think that Israel has probably been very cautious with some of its own secrets for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer, but
you're,
I
right,
think that they early on learned. I mean, there were times when there were all these things. I don't know if you remember every time something, there was a mysterious bombing in Syria, and then Biden would come out and say, yep, that was the Israelis.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, this type of stuff would happen all the time where you need. Where you just have to say, I don't know. We don't know who did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And just that kind of, you know, that kind of stupidity and that kind of recklessness with intelligence information. You know, Israel understands the importance of maintaining intelligence and maintaining secrets. It's life or death here, and there's very little margin for error. You know, in America, okay, you get this intelligence asset killed, you get that one, you have some foreign policy loss somewhere. It's not existential yet.
Right.
Down the road it might be. But
oh, yeah, if we elect her, it certainly might be.
Yep.
Yeah, well, she's pretty good. She's pretty good with secrets when it comes to the foundation, that sort of thing. But hey, listen, you mentioned Iran.
And her medical and her health.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hiding that Parkinson's from us.
yeah.
Did you see where Iran has been given permission by the Obama administration, I guess, to restart some nuclear reactors? And then I guess you told me that there's some missiles have been deployed to. Can you just fill us in on what you know about this?
Well, I just saw there were two stories. One is that they're breaking ground on two new nuclear plants.
Right.
So the ones that they've got now, I guess, aren't enough. The centrifuges are maybe a little obsolete.
Hey, when you're in a hurry, when you're in a hurry, you can't wait.
When you're
around.
In a hurry, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. So right. Anyway, go ahead.
The other thing is that they're showing off that they have now the S-3, famous Russian-made S-300 missiles, and that they have deployed them around the Fordo nuclear site, and along with them are deployed these other counter-strike ballistic missiles. It's a great situation.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Fordo one of the sites where we suspected at least they were producing nuclear material to develop a bomb with?
Yeah, they claim that they stopped enriching at Fordo. I'm not sure what the current situation is in terms of inspections. Who knows? It's such a mess, and we've played this so badly.
Oh, indeed, yeah. And as a matter of fact, there was an article in the, not this past Saturday's, but the Saturday's prior Wall Street Journal, which basically went through the Iran deal. I was getting goosebumps because as I was sitting there reading it, I'm going, yep, we talked about that with Abe. Yep, we talked about that with Abe. Yep, we talked about that. Everything they said in the article we had talked about on this show and laid out it has empowered. One of the main themes through the article was how it has empowered the regime, how they were teetering. They were on, they were hurting because of the sanctions and everything, and Obama rescued them.
Yep.
Yeah, well, all
that's
right.
Twice that he did it.
Yeah.
2009 was the first time.
Yeah, that's right, when he had all the protests out there and he sat silently. And you also mentioned about some interesting developments within the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinian.
Yeah. Within the Palestinian Authority, there apparently were some. There have been some very vocal protests against the government, against Mahmoud Abbas and his henchmen, and this apparently the last protest was at a funeral. The funeral was for a captain in the Palestinian police and a ranking member of what's called the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, which is actually a terror group.
Right.
But anyway, he was apparently beaten to death while in police custody because they believed that he masterminded the killing of two Palestinian Authority security personnel. You got that all straight?
I'm trying to keep notes here.
It's, in other words, there are several back and forth steps already here and you put this, you combine this with the, there are upcoming elections, municipal elections, and Hamas is participating in most of the towns. So there's going to be, there's a lot of competition between the groups, and I would imagine there's going to be some violence there, and I imagine that there will be attempts at least at carrying some of the violence into Israel, so that because one of the big campaign, the big ways they have of campaigning is to be able to boast about who has spilled more Israeli blood. So if they get a good terror attack in there, that helps them.
Wow.
It's a very, very sick, very sick thing.
It is.
That's part of the competition between the groups.
It's vicious and diabolical indeed. I just have time for one more question. Can you give us a brief update on what's going on in Turkey? Evidently, the president is going to visit Erdogan over there in about a month. What are they going to talk about? Is Obama going
to
ask
maybe him how to do a coup?
That's what I was going to say. How to do it? Yeah, right.
How to purge all your I don't even remember how many thousands of political opponents in one shot.
Oh, it was in the tens of thousands.
Well, yeah. Turkey is now going. They've rolled into Syria in some of the Kurdish areas. They say they're out to destroy the terrorists, and they're not talking about ISIS. They're talking about the Kurds. They don't want a contiguous Kurdish presence on their border. They're kind of threatened by that. On the one hand, they think that the Kurds will help with an organization called the PKK, which is what they consider a terror group. Actually, I think the U.S. may also. And I think they also just don't like the idea of the Kurds getting powerful and independent. So anyway, they've been hitting what's known as the YPG Kurdish militia, which just happens to be part of the American coalition of forces there. So, I always say there are so many moving parts there and so many different militias with different alliances and different hatreds. It's very hard to sort it out and know what's going on, but it's a mess. That much I know.
All right. Well, Abe, as usual, I'm a lot more informed and smarter after talking to you than I was before. So I really do appreciate that. And our audience just loves you. And they always tell me to tell Abe we love him. We're praying for him. And we are. We're praying for you and Israel. You take care, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Abe Katzman. You can find his excellent work at abekatzman.com. You spell that with an S, abekatzman.com. Or, of course, you can go to our website, americanadversaries.com, where we're linked up with Abe Katzman. And by the way, if you would like to be a sponsor of the show but aren't so certain that you can afford radio airtime, but you would like to be advertising somehow with us, you can do it just on our website. We have special rates for just web ads. And, of course, you can always join the American Adversaries Army by going to AmericanAdversaries.com. And I hope you won't go away, though, because we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show. That's right. It's the final countdown. Tomorrow is primary election day. If you have not voted, please do your thing. Get out there and vote, okay? Tomorrow is the day. Voting 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at your local voting stations. And if you don't know where that is, your voting site, you can always go to the election office in your county, and they will allow you to vote there. All right, and we do have a number of races here locally. And of course, we'll be choosing our senatorial candidates, some of our congressional candidates, and we're going to be choosing committee men and committee women. And we have a lady who's running for committee woman here in the studio with us right now by the name of Wendy West. Wendy, good to see you this afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, a little wet, but other than that, not so bad. First of all, you've been pretty active in Republican politics here in Central Florida for a good while, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And on the Republican Orange County Executive Committee?
Yes, I'm the vice chairman.
All right. Well, real quick, just for some of our listeners out there who may not know, what does a committee woman or a committee person do?
The main function of the committee man or woman is to be the liaison between your local Republican Executive Committee and the Republican Party of Florida. The position is a 4-year commitment, You serve on the board, which it, the board consists of 60, there's 67 counties. We have one committee man, one committee woman, and the chairman of the local Republican Executive Committee make up the board.
Okay.
And then within that, we have 27 congressional districts from which one person is elected chairman. And at that point, they then become on part of the Republican Party Executive Board.
Okay. And so all of you get together to do Republican Party business, basically.
Yes. Yes. They want you to be on committees. There's 17. They are like audit committee, budget, constitution rules, credentials, okay. ethnics, grievance.
And so you act sort of as a representative, if you will, except as a representative of state government, or federal government, you're a representative to the party.
To the party.
All right. So if somebody has a problem with the party, they would go to their state committee man or committee woman, say, perhaps first to seek restitution or solve it.
They probably would, yeah.
And I understand you don't get paid to do this.
No, you don't.
Well, why would you want to do it? And why is it so competitive? These seem to be very competitive races.
They really are. I was surprised at how competitive they are. I'm not exactly sure of that answer. I really intend to be the one to be the state committee woman for Orange County. I have a business background. I have I've started a women's club here and it's lasted 8 years, and that is work.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work, but we got it done.
I can argue with you there. And you, as I said, you've been involved already in Republican Party politics. Is the committee woman, is that something that you're gonna want to use that as a stepping stone to another office, or is this a particular thing that you want to do? This is sort of your niche.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. I don't want to go as a stepping stone. This is not to pad my resume. This is something I really want to do.
Okay, and you're in Orange County, so you'll be on the Orange County ballot.
On the Orange County ballot, I'm a W, so I'm the last one.
The last name on there, yeah. They're put on, of course, the alphabetical order. I know there's like four or five of you on that ballot. Is there going to be a runoff if someone doesn't get the full 50% plus one?
No. It's winner take all.
Okay, so whoever gets the most votes is going to be the committee woman and, or in the case of the men, the committee man.
Exactly.
When you're sworn in for this position, at that time, as I said, you're not paid. So is it up to you to take care of all your expenses to make sure you can fulfill your obligation?
Exactly.
So you're prepared to do that?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And when you... do you have any particular agenda of your own that you would like to see happen in the Republican Party of Florida?
Well, I do. There's a lot of strife in the party, and I would like to see that eliminated. I want us to reach out to the non-political party people and try to bring them in. There's a tremendous amount of them in Orange County. Republicans are 208,000, and the non-political affiliates are 202,000.
Right. I've noticed that you have a lot of people who are registering for smaller parties or no party affiliation, that sort of thing. And has that affected Republicans more so than Democrats, or pretty much evenly for both parties?
And I don't know. Okay. I mean, the Democrats are at 312,845, so we're outnumbered quite a bit.
Yeah, that happened a number of years ago when those numbers turned over on us. And
another thing I want to mention is it's mandatory that you attend the Republican Party of Florida's quarterly meetings, which last for 2 days.
Right, in Tallahassee, aren't they?
No, they're in Orlando, thank goodness.
Oh, okay.
They were recently down in Tampa, but they're bringing it back here, which is good.
Okay, all right. And do you have a Facebook page or a campaign website or anything like that?
I have a Facebook page under my name, Wendy West.
Wendy West, WendyWest.
Yes.
Wendy West on Facebook. And so tomorrow's election day. Are you excited to get this thing over with?
Yes.
As I said, it's very competitive. I'm surprised. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I was kind of surprised at how competitive these committee man and committee woman positions are. Is that because of the nature of this particular campaign this year, you think, with Trump and everything like that going on?
It could be, but it's both seats are vacant this time, and that's
that. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay,
it hasn't been that way.
Okay, no incumbent to go run against you.
That's
okay.
It, yeah.
Okay, we have to take a break, and it's the top of the hour already. Can you believe we already got an hour in? But we got an hour to go, so I hope you'll stick around for more of the American Adversaries Radio Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, when we go off the air, Larry Elder goes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a road.
All right, we're back. Thanks for being with us tonight, folks. We really do appreciate you listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. It's dark and it's wet out there. If you have to head out on the roads, please allow yourself some extra time. Make sure you listen to those traffic reports. Mick Dolan will keep you out of those traffic jams as long as you're listening during the breaks. And if you have to go somewhere tonight, please allow yourself a little extra time because, as I said, it's a mess out there. Going to be that way pretty much all week, evidently, because of the storm creeping up our west coast over there. But that's all right. We'll still be here. We'll still be live as we are right now, coming to you on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Got Jeff Sinis on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number if you would like to call the show this evening or at any time, as a matter of fact. Or if you would like to be a contestant in our spaghetti eating contest, that's right. You can call the station right here at that number. We'll get you signed up. Jeff Sinis will take your information. We'll get back with you and get you a plate at the table, a seat at the table for our spaghetti eating contest, which will be 1 week from Wednesday. That's right, September the 7th. Can you believe it's already Labor Day weekend coming up this weekend? 1 week from Wednesday, September the 7th, we'll be live doing our show at Cafe Positano, which is located approximately 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436, just east of Apopka proper. And Cafe Positano, of course, great Italian restaurant, great menus, great service, and great entertainment on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And James Hall has been playing some sweet jazz sounds down there on Saturday nights, too. And if you'd like to make a reservation for our celebration, it's going to be celebrating our 6 years on the air. This coming Sunday night will mark actually the September the 5th, 2010 is when we actually went on the air. But it'll be 6 years from this Labor Day weekend we've been here doing this show. And we'd love to have you come out and help us celebrate that September the 7th at Cafe Positano. And if you would like to make a reservation for that night, and I highly suggest it, or any other occasion, and they can accommodate parties and banquets and that sort of thing down there as well. And of course, they also have carry out. Their phone number is 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080. And while I'm on the subject, don't forget that next Saturday, the Blue Lives Matter celebration coming to you live from the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach. As a matter of fact, you are going to be coming there, hopefully, because it is a free event, and Lloyd Marcus is going to highlight the event by singing and entertaining. There'll be a lot of great speakers there as well, and it's an opportunity to show your appreciation for our police officers, sheriff deputies, and constables and just police of all sorts here in the United States. That's Saturday, September the 10th. So you got Wednesday the 7th, then that Saturday, September the 10th. That'll be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Ocean Center, Daytona Beach. It is free. If you'd like to find out more details and who they have lined up as speakers there already, and they're working on more, you can go to LloydMarcus.com. That's Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, Marcus.com. All right, and then on the 12th, you got another great event coming up. So you got the Wednesday the 7th, Saturday the 10th, and then Monday the 12th is, you want to talk about a culmination of events, the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour is coming to Orlando. It's originated in Fort Lauderdale, coming to Orlando, hitting 9 big cities across the country, going to wind up in Los Angeles. The speaker list includes Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, John Voight, some guy by the name of Chris Hart's going to be there too. And you got a couple of ways you can attend this event. The roundtable discussion, the town hall type discussion featuring these gentlemen is going to be at 12:30, and that is free. You will need a ticket, but it is free, and you can get that free ticket or the tickets at am660theanswer.com. That's am660theanswer.com. Not, and this is important, and it makes a difference, it is not 660 AM, The Answer. That is a station in Dallas. That's one of our sister stations in Dallas. For this station, you go to, just remember, you start with A, okay? am660theanswer.com. Also, at 11:30, there's going to be a VIP reception and where you'll be able to meet all the fellas, and that will be for $35 per ticket, all right? For the VIP reception is $35 per ticket. The roundtable discussion is free. The VIP tickets will also get you VIP seating for the roundtable discussion, and those tickets also can be bought at am660theanswer.com. Remember, you start with A, am660theanswer.com. The doors open at 11 o'clock at the Lake Mary Event Center on September the 12th for the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour. So please be there for that and get your tickets because there is limited seating. All right, and before we get back to business, I got some tickets to give away. You know, if you were listening, let's see, a week ago this past Friday, you heard us speaking with Alex Porto, WWE wrestling superstar who now has a wrestling school and stable of wrestlers here in Winter Park, and they are going to be having a wrestling event tomorrow night. It's called Labor Pains. Get it? Labor Pains? All right, that's tomorrow night. And it is going to be here in Winter Park. And I got another pair of tickets. We gave some away Friday. He's given us another pair of tickets to give away tonight. So if you would like to go to Labor Pains, this is great family entertainment, pro wrestling right here in Winter Park tomorrow night, then give us a call. And the first caller can have that pair of tickets to tomorrow night's 2.0 Wrestling 2.0 event in Winter Park. And Jeff will give you the directions to the venue when you call, all right? And the tickets will be waiting for you at the door. If you want to go to see some Labor Pains, you can have a pair of tickets. All you got to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255. Okay. We've got another local candidate in the studio with me now. As I said, tomorrow is primary election day. Please get out and vote. And Cindy Yule has been on the show before. Cindy, welcome back. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, we appreciate you. And how's the campaign going? I understand these races are very competitive.
Yes. And you know, I honestly think that the reason it's so competitive is because one of the big Republican secrets is now out the bag.
What's that? What's that? Let us in on it.
Well, the secret is, you know, we talked about the executive committee. That's a secret because they want to keep that a political country club so they're not held accountable, right?
Okay.
All right. Another secret number two is state committee woman and state committee man. We're the ones who represent the people to the party and vice versa, the party to the people. And they usually give those jobs to insiders. So if you get the people invading the
insiders,
the executive committee, and basically like a chessboard, knocking
right.
pieces off the board.
Right.
And then you start doing that at the state level. Hello, can we change the Florida Republican Party or what?
And they seem to be quite threatened by that.
Indeed, they are very threatened by me. And that, I think, is because I was like slow out of the gate. You know, if you're comparing this to a horse race.
Okay.
I sort of, you know, stayed in the background. And, you know, those big stallions, when they start to open up and widen the stretch down the field.
Right.
They did not expect me to be making radio ads. It shocked them. And then I sent out mailers.
Yep.
That shocked them. Not just one, but two, each type of, you know, before absentees, two before early, two before the primary.
Right.
And they're absolutely knocked out of breath. They don't know what to do with me. They can't rein me in. They can't control me. They can't give me token jobs anymore inside the committee to distract me from doing these types of things, which I really think will basically serve the community better. And this is my whole goal, and my whole heart is committed to the people of Seminole County and representing them at the state level. They deserve better.
Well, this is why the people of Seminole County, I wish I lived in Seminole County to vote for you, but this is why people in Seminole County need you. This is why we need people like you in Orange County. We need people in there who are going to sort of shake up, not sort of, but who are going to shake up the status quo.
Exactly. Things will change. And I tell you what, I was so attacked. Can you believe it's a sin to self-fund your campaign? Whenever this past week we had to turn in our campaign reports, our contributions, and our expense list.
Right.
The very next morning after I sent in that list of contributions, I had a screenshot on Facebook from a political operative who is the campaign manager of my opponent, and I'm going to call her out, Susie Dolan. She is the government relations lady for Waste Pro, and their job is to kind of do keep the politicians happy. And she, where I have self-funded, she accepted a $10,000 Tallahassee insider lobbyist contribution. Now, we wonder, $10,000 for state committee woman, and it is a non-paying position. What do Tallahassee lobbyists and insiders want out of her? I have, with my husband's permission, and I thank God, I've got a very generous and gracious husband. God called me to do this job. He's provided for us. And I'm thankful for those. I did have some folks who did, you know, contribute to my campaign, but it's largely self-funded.
Right.
So I was attacked and beat up all week long about being self-funded. They accused me of being power hungry, bad investment, good investment, just, you know, power hungry. So, you know, if serving the good people of this county, if that's what makes me power hungry, let them call me whatever.
I tell you what, this is the kind of gal you folks in Seminole County need. She's got the fight and she's got the will. And all she needs now is your vote. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. Please stay with us. All right. Recognize that. The Orient Express tag team. That was one of the teams that Mr. Fuji was the manager of. Mr. Fuji, a WWE Hall of Famer who passed away yesterday. Going to miss Mr. Fuji, a legend. All right. James has won the pair of tickets to the Labor Pains event tomorrow night. And by the way, if you'd like to go, the tickets are only $15. It's going to be a really fun time tomorrow night in Winter Park, Labor Pains. That's Wrestling 2.0. All right, right now we have another candidate who's running here. And as a matter of fact, he's running down in the Osceola County, South Orange County area. And he's running to get the opportunity to run for the seat being vacated by Alan Grayson. So I want to welcome back to the show Wayne Liebnitsky. Wayne, how are you doing tonight?
Real good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Not bad, thanks. How's your campaign going?
It's going great. I've been out and about. Of course, we're winding down to primary. You encourage everybody to go out and vote. I was doing some numbers today, guys. Do you know the last primary that was done in, 14? Only 13% of the registered voters actually went out and voted. Can you imagine?
I know, and that's why they put a lot of these things that the establishment wants to ram through in these primary elections, like this Solar Amendment 4 thing. But I understand that you continue to have won the hobnobs in those type events.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we've been out at Polk County. Have you guys actually traveled out in Polk County? I got to tell you, that's the most beautiful country with the lakes and those folks out there, diehard Republicans, no doubt about it. And from what I gather, I'm their candidate. The hobnobs, I'm out there, people coming up and thanking me. They read our platform, and we're going strong. You know, they don't care for the seat, the current individual that's in the seat, nor do they think that Grayson's newly minted wife will. They don't want nothing to do with her either. So at this point, we've got to go strong. We've got to go forward, and we've got to take this on, period.
Well,
knock them out.
Well, the primary is over tomorrow. Should you win the primary, and good luck, and I certainly hope that you do, then the real work sort of begins in terms of the general election, right?
It does, about 68 days, somewhere in that, and I'll bet you I'll be busy just about every day. I know every other day with the primary, you know, leading up to the primary, I've had something on my schedule or going around and traveling around shaking hands. I certainly don't doubt that I will be busy every day up to the general.
Is there one particular issue or one or two issues that really motivate you or the people that you're meeting? Is there one particular issue that they really are bothered by?
Yeah, Social Security and the VA, the veterans, because I am a veteran with a voice. There's so much, for instance, COLA, you know, the cost of living
adjustments,
was zero.
Yeah.
They tie it to fuel. Think about it. When seniors, when they retire, their fuel costs actually go in half, if not less than that.
Right.
But they eat every day. So we need to change that. You know, what they live on is tremendous. You've got people balancing their budgets with $800 and $900 a month, which I understand how they do it. Quite frankly, I'd like to have some of them come with me to Washington as part of my team as legislator to help me balance the damn budget, or at least try to convey the fact that people got to live within their means. And the U.S. government, that means the U.S. government as well. I've done several speaking engagements, and it seems I have an overwhelming applause when I talk about all the money they send overseas to countries to like us. And the fact is they don't like us. They like our money. We have people on the streets. We have veterans that have to wait 4 months for a doctor's appointment. We have seniors. Have you ever gone through the grocery store and, you know, like, because you and I, we'll grab something, we'll take our card out, stick it in the slot, and away we go. Seniors in front of me, they're counting out their dollar bills and actually counting out their change to make sure. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's tough.
Hey, yeah. After 6 years in the radio business, I'm counting out my pennies too, brother.
but you know what? You can get up. You can get up and go out and get a second job or a third job.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's so many different things, and then they try to spoil it with gun control, or they want to talk about, you know, the Planned Parenthood, and they just try to muddy everything up. When in fact, folks, we need to bring money back to our country to build our infrastructure and deal with us first. Everybody comes to us with hands out, and it's got to stop. Otherwise, you know, raising taxes, the Democrats, they want to raise the Social Security. I think that will cure everything.
Oh, yeah.
Raise the ceiling.
Yeah.
I tell them that'll double down the debt.
Yeah.
You're doubling down on a debt. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, somehow, all you have to do is look at Hillary Clinton's platform, for instance, that somehow to them, more taxes and more spending solves all problems. Hey, listen, I got a caller on the line who has a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Craig, thank you for calling tonight. And your question for Wayne Liebnitsky, please.
Hi, Wayne. Do you understand the fair tax? It's Bill H.R. 25, probably is what the number is.
Hey, Chris. Yes, Chris. I mean, Craig, I've seen you on Facebook responding to the fair tax. I like the fair tax. The only issue that I have with it, and I haven't got my hands around it, is the investment that the companies can invest in this country for tax breaks. Fair tax means everybody pays a fair share. It's a use tax, basically. What amounts to that battle's been waging on for 6 years that I'm aware of, and I think it's a little longer than that.
Bill, yeah, it's much longer.
And I think Bill's had a conversation with you about that. I do understand that the issue is that's a war in itself, what's going on.
Well, but corporations, it's only a one-time retail sales tax. Corporations pay no tax, and I do not agree with the prebate. So I say that it's a 20% tax cap, starting at 15% hidden sales tax, and no toilet paper is taxed, no rent, no food is taxed.
It's
very interesting concept, a lot bigger than the radio spot. But I know you've been communicating with Bill on our team. Bill's part of my kitchen cabinet. I have a kitchen cabinet philosophy. I have three and four guys that I trust in, that we sit around the table, have a cup of coffee, and we discuss these issues. What is immediate?
Okay.
The immediate thing is trying to get our money back to the states.
All right. Thank you, Craig, for the call. And you know, I didn't want to get down into weeds too much there, but in essence, you like the concept of the fair tax, but obviously some of the details are yet to be worked out.
It is, Chris. That is such a huge conglomerate, and you got so many lines being drawn in the sand right now. The battle. I've got to get up there, and we've got to help them.
Okay, you mentioned.
That's the main thing. Go ahead.
I just have a couple minutes left. You mentioned the VA. Would you like to see veterans be able to use a private hospital, private doctors in lieu of the VA hospitals, especially if they're got a waiting list?
Absolutely. That is notorious when he said he's got a 4-month wait. You know what? You're going to get a chit. If you have to wait, you know, more than 2 weeks for an appointment, a chit is written out and you go to, you know, pick a private doctor in the VA. You know, if you hit their wallet a few times, they're going to fix it. They have to. And unfortunately, that's just the way it has to be. But guys waiting 4 months, can you imagine calling in for some sort of a sickness and you've got to wait 4 months to go to see the doctors?
I hate to say it, but if it was a person besides a veteran, they would have probably gotten a lot quicker attention from the media, too. Wayne, I just have 1 minute left. Tomorrow's
Certainly
election
sir.
Day. What can you say to the voters in Osceola and Southern Orange County and parts of Polk?
I want you to please go out and vote. Look at my site, wayneforcongress.com. Read it. Engage with it. Get me your vote. I promise you, without hesitation and without prejudice, I'm going to work to solve those issues. And I know I'm a voice for the vets, and that's what I speak for, but it's so much more than that. To get that, we've got to get us back working again. We have to engage and get our money back in here working for us. That will take care of the Social Security issue. That will take care of the VA. It won't be perfect, but it's the way to go. And I can't tell you enough how much this means to me and the people that I am representing, that we've got to get more voices up there for the veterans.
All right. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right, we're going on back on the air right now. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. By the way, as Wayne Liebnitsky was going into the – we were going into the break there with Wayne. He was telling us that he's going to have an election watch party tomorrow night. You all are invited in his district. I guess anybody's invited, especially if you live in his district and voted for him. And that is going to be at La Bella Napoli in St. Cloud. That's 4071 13th Street down there in St. Cloud. And if you'd like to call and make a reservation, their phone number is 407-957-2214. That's La Bella Napoli on 4071 13th Street, St. Cloud. It'll start at 6 p.m. 407-957-2214 is the phone number if you'd like to make a reservation. All right, I'm Christopher Hart, and Cindy Yule is still in the studio with me. She's running tomorrow. She's been running, and tomorrow is the primary, the election day. And for this office, that's it, right? After tomorrow, whoever wins the vote is going to be the committee woman, and in the situation of the men, committee man.
Right. The polls will open at 7 in the morning. They'll close at 7 in the evening, so whoever gets inside the building will get to vote, but they will not be allowing anybody else in at 7 p.m. tomorrow.
Right. Okay. And you are Do you? I know that you said that there's a committee man and a committee woman.
Right.
Now, do you run as a team in any fashion, or how does that work?
Well, each race is separate, but there is someone that I know that is a good, solid conservative that I could recommend if voters don't know who to vote for. His name is Thomas J. Martin. He's known as Tom Martin. He and I used to work together with True the Vote to ensure, voter integrity, because, you know, there's too much
voter fraud.
Yeah, and so he was integral in that. He's a good man, and he's running.
Speaking of that, do you have people on your team who will be at some of the polling sites keeping an eye on things? Is that done for these type races?
Yes, of course. We've got sign waivers going to be there, and because the dirty tricks are, is they will steal your signs if you don't have people there. They can vandalize them.
Yep.
And so, yes, I'm going to have signs there for sure. We're going to have people there watching, and God has just been so good. And I just want the voters to know that this has been run to his glory. He's the one who shoved me into this. I've questioned the whys. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. But, you know, I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of good people, like being on the air with you, to make people out in the public aware of the local problems we have when we are not involved and the politicians control everything. There is more mischief than you can imagine.
And certainly seems to be that they want to control the process, and, you know, controlling these offices, the committee man and committee woman, seems to be pretty important to the echelon, if you will, the higher ups.
Right, because it feeds up to Tallahassee. And, you know, if you can handpick the people that go to Tallahassee like you handpick the people for the school board and county commissioners, then you are controlling everything about the whole party in the state.
And what they don't like about you is that they cannot control you.
Not anymore, because now I'm out on the air, you know, trying to keep me in one little corner. They made the mistake of trying to stop me from inviting my friends in. And so, like, God opened my eyes, then you run for state committee woman, and then it's up to the voters of the county to elect you and not these corrupt people on the inside.
Okay. All right. And once again, this is tomorrow. The election is tomorrow. So please do get out and vote if you have not already. All right. We have William on the line, who actually has a question about tomorrow's election. William, thank you.
Mr. Hart, I know tomorrow's a primary. Can anybody vote in this particular primary? I know we just had the Republican primary, but I was curious. Can anyone vote tomorrow?
There are a number of elections that are countywide, yes. If you've gotten a sample ballot, it will have on the ballot the things that you can vote for. For instance, there's at least one statewide amendment on there. That's Amendment 4. So everyone is eligible to vote for that. Some of the congressional races, they will be closed primaries, so only Democrats can vote for Democrats, only Republicans can vote for Republicans. The same with the Senate primary. But the committee men and committee women, those are open. No, I'm sorry. Those are for Republicans and Democrats. But you have the judges that are open. You have, for instance, the tax collectors that are open. You have in Seminole County, if you live in Seminole County, the clerk of court and comptroller, that's an open election. And school board elections are open. So there are a number of things out there you can vote for. There are a number of things out there you cannot, depending on which party you are registered in. Does that make sense, William?
Well, it makes very big, much sense. And I've got a number of friends that had asked me about doing that. I wasn't sure of the answer, so now I know I can tell them they need to go out and vote tomorrow.
Absolutely. There's going to be something they can vote for. All right?
I love your show, and I thank you for the thing that you do on the air.
Well, thank you very much, William. God bless you. And please call back again sometime, okay?
I will.
All right. Thank you, sir. And, yeah, so you're Republican committee woman.
Yes.
Is what you're running for. So you have to be a registered Republican to be able to vote for you.
Definitely. And I just really want to urge people to vote because this is historically the lowest turnout for elections.
And the primaries, yeah.
And so many people will come in, and it's called an undervoted ballot. They'll come in and vote for senator, congressman, maybe commissioner or clerk of court or school board or whatever. And because they are unfamiliar and don't understand how important state committee woman and state committee man are, they don't even vote for that. So I really am encouraging as strongly as I possibly can that you vote for state committee woman and state committee man, and I'm asking for your vote. And if you want a great guy to represent you as a state committee man and you're a Republican, Thomas J. Martin will do a very, very wonderful job.
And we've spoken about this before, perhaps not enough on the show, that we do need to pay close attention to these local elections because this is where, first of all, we can make a big difference, and second of all, they make a big difference in our lives. So, and that's why these are so competitive, and that's why the higher-ups in the party want to control these offices because they are very influential. And if we want to clean up our system, if we want to bring in an outsider, for instance, at the top, a guy like Trump, well, then we need to bring in the same thing at the bottom or we're not doing any good, right? I mean, if we don't have the foundation, whatever we install at the top is bound to fall. So Cindy Cooper Yule is going to be an excellent committee woman for you people in Seminole County. There's no question in my mind about it. And the fact that she's given them, you know, such headaches at the old boys' hangout down there is just more reason to vote for her.
Well, thank you so much. And I love giving them a little something to go to bed tonight
to think about.
Worried about because, you know, God has been good. That's all I can say. And I don't want to over-spiritualize it either. I work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very hard. But He's put people in my life and in my path to make a team. And it seems to me like a lot of people pray for God to help our nation. And when you see him raising up his people to run for office, this is a part of answered prayer of all of whoever these people are that are praying.
Right.
So please support us. This is how we can change our county, our state, our nation, and our party.
All right, let's shake them up there in Seminole County. But you folks have to get out and vote to make this happen. And the bad news is not a lot of people vote in these primaries, as Cindy just pointed out. The good news is that means for those of you who do vote, your vote means that much more, in a sense. All right? So please do get out and vote. And if you're in Seminole County, for committee woman, it's Cindy Cooper Yule. For committee man, it's Tom or Thomas Martin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. And believe me, you will not be sorry if you vote for these folks. And this is all part of the process, ladies and gentlemen, of reclaiming our nation, if you will, because this is the avenue that our Creator, through our founding fathers, has given us to make sure that we maintain control of this country. We, the citizens, not the elite, not the ruling class, but we, the citizens. And candidates and offices like this are just as important as state positions, as federal positions, because they make the foundation of the party. So please put some thought into it. What's your website again, if anybody still has a few doubts out there?
It's CindyYule.org, and that's Cindy, YOUELL.org. And I'm also located on Facebook for people who are there. Just look up Cindy, CINDY, Cooper Yule, and I am there and I respond to any questions that you have and comments that you make on my Facebook page.
All right. There you have it. Please get out and vote for her tomorrow and get out and vote. That's the main thing. Please. And please don't go away. We'll be right back. All right. right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for listening tonight. We really do appreciate it. That's right, we're here until 7 in just a few minutes. That'll be 7 o'clock, and then Larry Elder is going to take it over from there. And as I said, thanks for listening. Also, just a quick programming note. 1 week from today is, of course, the day we celebrate Labor Day, and we will be off that day. But we, of course, be back the following day, ready to knock this thing on out right on through Election Day. And we will be here Sunday night, though, and I'm toying around with putting together a special Sunday night edition of the American Adversaries. And so you definitely want to tune in for that, and we'll see how that goes. And nonetheless, we will be here, and we will be live Sunday night. And don't forget, Wednesday, come and join us, please, at Cafe Positano to celebrate our 6 years on the air and help us choose a winner. Well, I watch them eat spaghetti, and then they'll figure out the winner. By the way, I told you a little while ago, tomorrow night, right over here in Winter Park, at 7307 Sands Cove Court, Labor Pains will be happening. That's right. Wrestling 2.0 is promoting the Labor Pains event tomorrow night. If you would like to find out more information, you can call them at 407-470-3095. That's 407-470-3095. You can get your tickets at the door. They're $15 a piece. Going to be a 12-lady diva battle royale. That should be a lot of fun. A couple of championship matches going on. And one of the wrestlers, and I don't know which one yet, perhaps I'll meet them tomorrow night. I'll be there after the show. One of the wrestlers is going to be in our spaghetti eating contest. How about that? We'll see how fast the wrestler can pack away some spaghetti. All right. As I said, Larry Elder is coming up next. He'll have a lot to talk about. There's the Huma Abedin, Anthony Weiner, marital woes story. There is more about the Clinton Foundation, more bad news. Peter Schweitzer was on CNBC this morning and said that he has seen some of the recent emails that have been released by the FBI because of judicial action by Judicial Watch, I think, one of the groups anyway. And it is his assessment of these emails that they are going to be very damning in the sense that it's going to be, you have to understand that there's not going to be an email out there that is going to, everybody's going to look at and say, okay, there it is. That's it. She's done. No more, you know, she's going down. That's not going to happen. These people are too clever, too diabolical, too sinister for that sort of thing. But nonetheless, Schweitzer says that the emails that he has seen that we are getting ready to see will be more of the similar ones that ABC and other news outlets brought out toward the end of last week. And those are the ones that show that the people who made donations to the foundation got access. And not only did they get access, but coincidentally, they also got a lot wealthier after they had the access. As I said, there's not going to be an email that says, okay, you give us X amount of dollars and we'll make sure this happens. But that doesn't have to be. It doesn't, for there to be criminal activity investigated and proven by the government, you don't have to have such an email. Rudy Giuliani was also on TV this morning. He was on Fox and Friends. And he was talking about, now, if you remember, before he was mayor of New York City, he was the federal prosecutor in New York. Actually, he might have been state. I think he was federal prosecutor. Anyway, he was prosecutor for the state of New York, and he tried I guess he was a state prosecutor. He tried white-collar criminals. He tried Wall Street types, banker type of criminals. And, of course, he tried mobsters. And he talked about this morning how he went after all of them using what is known as the RICO Act. The RICO Act allows the government to charge people with conspiracies based on information that is less than, shall we say, otherwise conclusive. In other words, a preponderance of evidence can create the conclusion. And with RICO Act, it gives prosecutors a great deal more leeway to prosecute people for crimes of conspiracy, if you will. And he said he'd be going after them using the RICO Act. Hugh Hewitt was talking some other acts this morning, the Foreign Agents Registry Act, and another similar law that a little bit more obscure laws that have to do with people who do business with our government have to be registered, especially if they're a foreign representative of a foreign government or foreign agency. And evidently a number of these people who are doing business through the foundation with the American State Department were not properly registered. So there are still a lot of problems for Hillary Clinton with the foundation, with the emails, with her trustworthiness, and then there is her health, of course, which we have been not afraid to talk about here on this show, and we will continue to talk about it because it is a pertinent and relevant issue. And the woman is sick, there's no question about it. I was watching, you know, Saturday, she had her first intelligence briefing by the FBI. Trump had his, a week before. She got hers this past Saturday. By the way, she's been on a fundraising tour. She was at the Hamptons this weekend and raised about $10 million. She, as I said, was at the FBI office that morning. And as I was watching TV, they were showing pictures of her motorcade exiting the meeting. And I noticed something interesting about her motorcade. And when you see these motorcades, and I'm sure most of you have seen them on television, there may be a few of you out there who don't watch TV anymore, but most of you do. And you've seen the motorcades, and you have the police vehicles and the police motorcycles and everything. But the motorcade itself usually is a caravan of black or dark blue big old SUVs, like GMC SUVs, right? The big ones. And there's usually, four, six, or eight of them. And then you have the press mobiles and things like that. And in the SUVs, of course, you have the candidates, the dignitaries that are traveling with the candidates, and also, of course, the Secret Service agents and whatever security that they provide. Well, I noticed with Hillary's caravan that the vehicle which carries Her Highness is unlike the others. This appears to be something between an SUV and a van. It has a higher roof, and yet it is a little bit lower also to the ground, and it has all the earmarks of sort of like a minivan, only bigger. And of course, that is because they have to make special accommodations because the woman is frail and sickly. She is not in good health. They are hiding it from us. The media is doing everything they can to hide it from us because they know the truth. Many of them do anyway. And this is why they are going to extreme lengths to make it appear as though Donald Trump is the one who's off his rocker. You know, we had a caller at the beginning of the show talking about the morning jokesters this morning, and I caught part of it too. And they had old Dr. Howard Dean. You remember him? Yeah, that's the guy. Dr. Howard Dean was on there, and they were asking him to make conclusions about Donald Trump's mental stability. He's off his rocker, isn't he? That's my I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. And of course, Donald Trump, why, we know more about Hillary Clinton's health than we do about Donald Trump's health. Well, okay, Donald Trump has volunteered to put out more medical records if Hillary Clinton will put out her own. I'm sure Donald Trump would be willing to take a physical if Hillary Clinton would be willing to do the same by, say, the same doctor. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Say, use some medical doctors from the Navy or the Army or something like that. She's got big problems, and this campaign, even though a lot of the liberals would like, once again, to have you believe it is over, it is just getting started. This is just now getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's going to be fun. This whole thing is going to be a riot, And I don't know. I'm not going to predict how it will turn out, but I do know this. Donald Trump is giving it his all. He's giving them a taste of their own medicine, and he is showing the path for other Republicans to victory in the future. And that is to employ a little bit of formula politics of your own. And yes, indeed, there is a great deal of truth in the fact that most political issues do come down to good versus evil, do they not? Only we have failed to get ourselves on the right side of that argument. Only this time, Donald Trump is doing everything he can to do that. And, of course, the Republicans don't like it because, well, they're a bunch of wimps. What can I say? Most of them, anyway. Not all, but most. All right, that's going to have to wrap it up pretty much for tonight. Don't forget, Larry Elder is coming on. If you're able to hear me now, you'll be able to hear Larry Elder here in about 7 or 8 minutes. So stick around for that. And please come out and join us on September 7th at Cafe Positano for our spaghetti eating contest, 6-year anniversary celebration. And then that's following Saturday on September 10th at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach for the Blue Lives Matter celebration being put on by Lloyd Marcus. And then don't forget, especially the September the 12th decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour coming here to the Lake Mary Event Center, Lake Mary, Florida. Get your tickets now at am660theanswer.com. I'd love to see it at all three or any combination or at least one of those events. So please take advantage of it, and we'd love to see you there. And that's going to do it for tonight. So, night, everybody.